The rest of us, if you turn with me in your Bibles to Isaiah 25, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. By the way, Nicole, I'm so happy you're back up here on the praise team. Isaiah 25, verses 1 through 8 is our foundational text. We will be covering a lot of scripture. What God has put in my heart to preach on is honor. Honor. Actually, I titled it Real Honor. Not something phony. Just to manipulate people. You know, some people, they'll act like they're honoring you, but while they're doing it, they have an agenda. Somebody know what I'm talking about? We'll begin reading in verse 1. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you and praise your name, for in perfect faithfulness you have done marvelous things, things planned long ago. You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong peoples will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You have been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in this distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breath of the ruthless is like a storm driving against a wall, and like the heat of the desert. You silence the uproar of foreigners as heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is still. On this mountain, the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people, a banquet of aged wine, the best of meats and the finest of wines. On this mountain, he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people. The sheet that covers all nations will be swallowed up, will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you will perform your word again today. We know that when your word is read or taught or spoken or sung, that, Lord, no matter what the avenue is that it takes, Lord, you watch over it to perform it. And we pray for that right now, that, Lord, you put a watch on my mouth that I would only speak the words you've ordained for this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So a major way that we honor God is through our worship. See, worship, really, we should use the term worth-ship. It shows the worth of our God when we praise Him. It displays who He is, and when we honor Him by praising Him, He then inhabits the praises of His people. I don't know how many of you remember it, probably quite a few of you, but back in the 80s, predominantly, there were really bad worship wars within churches. The new music, the new praise choruses, were coming on the scene, and the younger people were excited about them, and the older people hated them. So it created wars of churches, and it actually split a lot of churches. And a lot of churches ended up with what they decided to do to resolve the problem was to have an early service for one of them where they would sing all of the old hymns, and they'd have another worship service that was called contemporary. But at the end of the day, after going through all of that and living through that in my Christian walk, looking back, it was really worthless to be warring within churches, within the body of Christ, over how we worship God. Because the bottom line is, I'm here to tell you, those old hymns, God is honored through them. See, the difference is the old hymns, they are predominantly vessels that honor God by recounting things of the past. That's predominantly what the hymns do, is recounting things of the past. Guys, I want to tell you something. There's great value in looking back as we go forward once in a while. You don't want to spend our lives looking back. But we do want to look back once in a while and look at what God has brought us through so that we're ready to go through whatever's ahead of us and know that we're going to be victorious. Because recounting the victories that we had in the past will launch us into the future and ready to overcome whatever it is that comes in front of us. See, we win in Christ. So, listen, I got a level with you. I love some of the old favorite hymns. I can't say I love the ones that I don't know and I can't sing. I'm just being honest with you. I believe they still honor God, don't get me wrong. They just don't do it for me. But that's okay, because even when those are sung, God is being honored. Am I making sense to somebody today? Amen. So it was futile having these fights, wars in churches, splitting churches over worship, when as long as the songs or the choruses or the hymns honor God and don't violate God's word, He is honored. So, we honor God when we open our mouths and worship Him in spirit and in truth. We honor God when we raise our hands in adoration of Him. Now, everybody's different. One person will bust out into dance, and that's how they're wired. And that's fine as long as it's spirit-led. Right? Don't want to be getting in the flesh. I've seen that happen, where people are just getting in the flesh and trying to put on a display. I've seen people come to the front of churches and put on quite a display. But it wasn't worship of God. It was, look at me. So we need to remember to stay out of the flesh and in the spirit when we're worshiping God, however we do it. You know what? If you're not raising your hands to God in adoration and saying, Abba Father, like a little child reaches up to their mom or dad or grandpa or grandma, pick me up. See, we need lifted up sometimes. But don't come into the church and into worship and put your hands up just because everybody around you has got their hands up. If you're not feeling it, don't put your hands up. Because God don't do phony. God don't do bogus. Am I making sense? We need to just make sure that we're honoring God in our praise. I've become more and more over the years sensitive to, you know, there's songs on the radio that are good songs. They're great on Christian radio. But they're not necessarily worship songs that fit within the confines of a church service. Not that they're bad. But I want to focus on worship to God. See, I don't want to recount what I've done. There are songs on the radio, on Christian radio, from bands that are crossovers, and it's more about I, me, me, instead of about God. Am I making sense? I don't want it about me. I don't want it about you. When we praise God in this house, it better be praise to Him. Because He won't share His glory with anybody. And He's adamant about that. He is the only one that deserves the honor, glory, and praise. I want to pick the scripture apart that we just read. It says, O Lord, Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, O Lord, You are my God. Guys, I want to tell you something. That's a great beginning. You alone are my God. And I ask Your forgiveness, Lord, for allowing anything else to take Your place in my life where You should be, number one. I ask Your forgiveness for putting my wife in that place at times. I ask Your forgiveness, Lord, for putting children in that place sometimes. I ask Your forgiveness, Lord, for putting grandchildren in that place sometimes, or great-grandchildren. Anyone or anything that ends up in the place that is reserved for God in our lives, we should repent of and honor Him and Him alone. He needs to be first. He won't share that position with anybody. He says, I will exalt You and praise Your name. For in perfect faithfulness You have done marvelous things. There it is. Looking back. Recounting the things that in the past, the marvelous things that God has done, but not staying there, looking forward to the things and being part of the things that God's going to do. I don't want to just know what He's done. I want to be in the middle of what He's doing. How about you? In perfect faithfulness, You've done marvelous things. And He says, things planned long ago. See, God knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. He's got a plan. We see it right here in His Word. It's laid out. He says, You have made the city a heap of rubble, the fortified town a ruin, the foreigner's stronghold a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. The enemy's city was destroyed and said it'll never be rebuilt. Therefore, strong people will honor You. You know what the problem is with a lot of times with strong people? They depend on their own strength. It's real easy for us to depend on our own strength, especially if we've had some success in that area. But that's the wrong answer. We're supposed to depend on God. Honor Him. It says, therefore, when you see a therefore, that means it's referring to the things that were just said above. Right? Therefore. In other words, because of all of this that we've already covered, strong people will honor you. Cities of ruthless nations will revere you. You know, revere means a reverential fear. It will have a reverential fear of you. So then, what we're seeing here is God can make our enemies revere His name, and because of that, even when they don't want to be at peace with us because of the fact that they revere God. It goes on in verse 4 to say, you've been a refuge for the poor, a refuge for the needy in his distress, a shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. That's the kind of God we serve. For the breath of the ruthless, check this out, is like a storm driving against a wall and like the heat of the desert. The evil breath that comes out of an evil person's mouth. It says you silence the uproar of foreigners. As heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud. Over the years, rode a lot of miles on motorcycles. There's people that have rode a lot more that are more dedicated riders than I was. But my wife and I together put about 150,000 miles on our motorcycles altogether. That's quite a few miles on a motorcycle. Now you're saying, okay, where's this going? Well, when I read this passage about the heat is reduced by the shadow of a cloud, it's amazing when you're sitting on the seat of a motorcycle and it's hot out. The sun's beating on you and it'll strip your flesh off if it's hot enough. Okay? And all of a sudden, a cloud comes over, and you're underneath the cloud. And immediately, when you're sitting on the seat of that motorcycle, you know it. You feel it. It's like a 20-degree drop, is what it feels like. I'm not saying it is, but it feels like a 20-degree drop. Well, it made me think of that. It's the same way. We got rid of our motorcycle because, frankly, we're getting too old, and people are too crazy, not paying attention to where they're driving. Those two reasons, we got rid of it. And we got a convertible instead. It's the same way in a convertible. Cloud comes, you're hot, you're kind of sweating, enjoying the day, but pretty warm, and all of a sudden, cloud cover comes over. Well, it made me think of all of that when I read this. Does that make sense? So, it goes on to say, so the song of the ruthless is still. You know, I thought about that, and I thought about that, and I thought about that throughout this week. The song of the ruthless is still. And here's what I deducted from that. You know, for a season, sin is fun. I mean, maybe singing that. But it's only for a season. Sin's only fun for a season. I'm not going to tell you when I was living wrong before I got saved that I didn't have some fun. I had some fun, but it wasn't right. Okay? And there was times I felt like singing, and I've never had a good voice, so I didn't do much of that. But it felt like it, because I was having a good times. Well, when I think about that, the Song of the Ruthless, they're having a good time for a season, and they're singing in their season of sin. But God says, I'll steal that. I'll take the joy out of that sin and that ruthlessness in their life. Does that make sense to you? That's what I deducted from that after pondering it and pondering it all week. What in the world are they talking about here? That's what I deducted. Goes on to say, on this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all people. A banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, and the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all people, the sheet that covers all nations. Can you see in this why it's so important that we tear down strongholds in prayer? You don't realize, guys, how powerful you are when you get in the Spirit of the living God and start praying against strongholds over our states, over our nation, over everything in our lives. We have been given the authority and the power and the mandate to tear down strongholds. We do that when we honor God. When we honor God first. It goes on to say, he will swallow up death forever. That's what I'm talking about. Yes. He'll swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. And I love it. The last four words of that scripture, the Lord has spoken. In other words, that is final. That's final. What God speaks, that's it. So first major idea I want to talk about with you and look into some other scriptures is giving God the honor that is due his name. See, God has also mandated us to do that. We are supposed to honor him with everything that we are. We'll be talking about all the different things. First place we want to look now is Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 29, verses 1 and 2. And this scripture says, ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Next verse, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. I love it. This is a kid-friendly church. Good thing, because we get to be quite a tribe up in here. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. In other words, recount God's glory and his strength. God is not weak nor his arm short to reach every situation that we ever will come against in our lives. He is never too weak and his arm is never too short to reach us. Never. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. What this is saying is worship him. Again, worship. When we worship him in spirit and in truth, we honor him for who he is. We give him then his rightful place in our lives. See, he's supposed to be Lord. And that means, in layman's terms, he's in the driver's seat. He's in the driver's seat of our lives. Our problem is, too often, we've surrendered the driver's seat and the steering wheel to God, but we tend to keep reaching over and getting a hold of the steering wheel, messing with it, by steering our own lives sometimes. Is that truth or not? Amen. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. You know, it's about what happens in our hearts. Guys, we're not supposed to be only worshiping God corporately together, which is powerful. I love it. But what about throughout the week? Do we have worship for God in our hearts? In the middle of what we're doing? It's a matter of having our hearts stayed on God, no matter where we're at or what we're doing throughout the week. It's a matter of having Him in the center of our thoughts, in the midst of everything else that we have to do, having Him in the center. See, that's the only way, in my mind, that we can fulfill what Paul told us, which was to pray always. It's about the heart. What's going on in our hearts? See, I don't know about you, but I got tendencies. When I start operating out of this instead of my heart, I start doing stupid stuff. Does anybody else deal with that? It's just, it happens. See, that's why we're told not to lean on our own understanding. Instead, lean on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Worship in the splendor of His holiness. Get an image of Him in your mind as you're worshiping Him. I'm not talking about setting up Mother Mary or the saints. None of that. That's idolatry. But get fixed on Jesus and let Him give you an image of Himself. And worship Him in the splendor of that holiness. Don't expect to see His face when He gives you that revelation. Because we're not allowed to see His face until we see Him in glory. The rest of them we can see. I've had glimpses in the Spirit of His hands like this and His flowing robe, but I could only see from about here now. He's allowed me a couple of times in the last 40 plus years since I met Him to see Him. And I'm telling you, that's pretty sobering. But I've never seen His face, and I won't until I see Him in glory. Next one is Psalm 34, 1 through 3. Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. It says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. And it don't get better than that. See, if we can get to the place where His praise is always on our lips, it'd be all but impossible for us to be speaking any word curses. Does somebody know what I'm talking about? If we keep God's praise on our lips and keep Him in the center of our heart, like we were talking about just a few moments earlier, it's practically impossible for us to speak word curses over people. My soul will boast in the Lord. I'm bragging on my God every chance I get. Because He's worthy. And when we brag on Him, He is honored. I got to say it, though. Over the years, I have seen abuse of that as well. To draw attention to themselves, I have seen people make up things that they're bragging on God about that are not true. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, it happened. That's why any parachurch ministry worth its salt, when there have been healings that have happened, tell the people to go and get that confirmed. Because unfortunately, people will lie about healing to draw attention to themselves and make themselves look spiritual. That doesn't honor God. Quite the opposite. God don't need our lies to help Him look like a great God. All He needs is truth. And let Him be God. And Him alone. So our soul should boast in the Lord. And it's interesting, this. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Because the afflicted get hope when they see this truth. The truth of the boasting in the Lord. The proof of the fact that God is who He says He is. See, I absolutely love it when God breaks out in a meeting or in a church service and healings happen because afflicted people that aren't healed. Yes. That's why. And the byproduct of that is God is honored through that. And the fact is, miracles and signs and wonders confirm His word. They confirm it. It confirms He can do what He says He can. It confirms that He is who He says He is. Our psalmist invites us. He says, glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. That is what we do when we come together corporately and worship God in spirit and truth. Next one is Psalm 57, verse 5. Psalm 57, verse 5. And our psalmist says here, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. You want God's glory over all the earth? I do. I want God's glory to spread all over the earth. Because where God's glory is, there's going to be manifestations of Him. And there are going to be people that come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior that will be saved and not go to an eternity separated from God in a horrible place called hell, but go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus Christ. Psalm 107, verses 31 and 32. Told you we were going to get a last scripture. Psalm 107, 31 and 32. Beginning to read in verse 31. It says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. So we're called in our worship to give thanks to him for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. Acknowledging it's he that does these things. Verse 32 says, let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. In other words, let them praise him in the church. Let them praise him in the church. But not only in the church, as I said earlier. Praise him every day, every minute if we can, of our lives. How about Proverbs 3, verse 9? It talks about honoring God with our wealth. Of it on our pleasures. We're supposed to be responsible with all of it that comes in. He only requires a tenth back. And God is honored with our wealth when we handle it properly. You know, a lot of people really stiffen up when you start talking about this topic. But God, you know, Jesus talked more about money in the Bible than he did anything else. If you don't believe me, you do a study. He did. Why? Because he knew we'd have a big problem with this. He knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knew that they're going to have a problem. So I better say a lot about this. So, honor God with the first fruits. And he's honored through that. He's honored because that is an outward display that we revere him. See, I don't know. I dare say there's not anybody here that if I had a pocket full of $100 bills and I pulled that puppy out and I walked down here and I started asking me, "You got a 10 spot?" "Yeah, I got a 10. "Okay. Here, I'll trade you. I'll give you this $100 bill if you'll give me a 10 spot." I don't think there's anybody here that wouldn't take me up on that. Am I telling the truth? I guarantee you there's not a person here. Listen, you got 90 bucks to gain. Who's gonna shrug at that? But yet, when God has approached us that way, we buck. "No, it's mine." Well, if that's your attitude, that it's yours because you work for it, you got a problem. Because God gave you the strength to work for it. So there's things out of order. Now, I this is not a message built around tithing, but when God says we need to honor him with our wealth, I couldn't just skip over this quick and not address it somewhat anyway. You know what? Honestly, I'm probably guilty of not preaching on that topic enough. I probably am. I'm sensitive to that. And my wife and I have practiced tithing for, well, my wife tells me before I knew. I didn't know it, but I was tithing before I got saved. And you know what? I'm thankful. I am. I'm not mad about it. I'm thankful. You know, we were tithing all them years, and many years ago, God put it in our hearts to double tithe. We've been giving 20% for about 2 decades of our income. And we're not wealthy, but we're lacking nothing. That's the truth. I got no reason to lie to you about it. God called us to do that. And so we did it. God's faithful. Final point we're going to look at today, then, is honoring God with our body. I could have spent a whole message on this, because the culture we live in is pretty messed up when it comes to our bodies, how we treat our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. First Corinthians 6, verses 19 and 20. Paul says to the church in Corinth, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Now, we know from this he was speaking to the church in Corinth. Because if they were not born-again believers, they would not have had the Spirit. You with me? Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? So he's talking to believers whom you have received from God. He's just reminding them the Holy Spirit came from God. You are not your own, he says. You were bought at a price. Therefore, again, because of what we just said, therefore, honor God with your body. It's not an option for a born-again believer to fornicate. As I said last week, there is too much sin that's allowed in the church today, and it is hurting the body of Christ because it violates God. Fornication has become the acceptable sin in Christian circles, and it is not acceptable to God. Adultery, not acceptable. It destroys families, it destroys marriages, it destroys God's people. Adultery is sexual sin, just like fornication. And now we have churches that are flying the pride flag proudly. God help them, because judgment's coming. And they are not saved. They're not. They've been deceived. Well, when you leave here today, you're going to know the truth. And the truth will set you free. If you let it. Not if you decide you're going to crucify the messenger, though. See, today a lot of people just crucify the messenger and they don't change anything in their life. You know, that makes me sad, but I'm just here to tell you, when I leave here today, if there's someone that has been practicing the sexual sin, in spite of the fact that you profess Christ, I've told you, and your blood will not be on my hands. Your blood will be on your own head. You're not your own. See, that's something that people forget. When we repent of our sins, truly repent, and ask God to be the Lord and Savior of our lives, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior of our lives, then what we are doing is laying down our life for him to pick it up. That's the reality. And so then, our life is not our own. And that's why he says, you were bought at a price. Jesus paid the price. He bought us. And once we have given our life to him, our life is no longer our own, and that's why we're not supposed to be in the driver's seat of our life anymore. We're supposed to be prayerfully going through life and listening for that still small voice to say, this is the way. Follow me. Therefore, honor God with your body. Homosexuality, God said, is an abomination. That's a pretty strong word, guys. When God calls something an abomination, it's not good. Paul said, well, let me back up. We have a tendency, as spiritual people, to say, well, sin is sin. Well, for the most part, that's true. Sin is sin. Sin is anything we do that falls short of the glory of God. Basically. But Paul said that all other sin is outside the body, and sexual sin is inside or against the body. So he set sexual sin apart. More severe because it's against your body. I wonder why all the STDs came about. AIDS. AIDS is the worst one we've seen today. But if people continue to live that way, there will be something worse than AIDS. Because people aren't listening. I get it when the people out there, the people that are the unchurched, the unbelievers, I get it when all that happens out there. But my friends, we are in a bad place in our culture when it's allowed in the church. Honor God with your body. That's it for today. You want to stand up? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Your word is complete. Lord, help us to study, to show ourselves approved before you. And Lord, to apply what we learn. Help us to apply what we've learned today. That none of us leaves here the same way that we came in these doors today. But Lord, we've been enlightened. Your light is permeating our soul right now. The light of your word. Lord, watch over your word to perform it in us. And Lord, may your word that we've heard today change us. Make us righteous, Lord God, in your presence. And Lord, we pray that you will give us a strong voice in our circles of influence to tell the truth in this dark world and be a light, therefore. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. We love you.